When he moves among us, all that he does, all of his mercy and all of his love, and the pen of the writer could write every day, even this world could never contain how I have been blessed. The warmth and the winter, the flowers in spring, the laughter in summer, and the changing of leaves, the food on my table, a good place to sleep, clothes on my back and shoes on my feet. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. Arms that will raise, a voice that can talk, hands that can touch, and legs that can walk, ears that can listen, eyes that can see. Oh, I've got to praise him as long as I breathe. I have been blessed. A father and mother who nurtured and raised, a brother and sister and memories made, our pastor to lead us, the altar to pray, straps that can heal, the blood that can save. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. We live in the greatest on earth. Our flag stands for freedom and what it is worth. She stands in the harbor, Miss Liberty calls. All have gave some, but some have gave all for me to be blessed. He's my shoulder to lean on when I am down, the rock where he leads me when I'm overwhelmed, the place where he hides me under his wings. He's not just a song, he's the reason I sing. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed.
Nice. Thank you. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else that's going to sing a class, perform something? Is that it? All righty. Well, let's open our Bibles. Book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 49. And I'm just going to read one verse. Isaiah chapter 49. And we'll stand for the reading of the Word of God, Isaiah chapter 49. I have a Spanish Bible, so I need you to read. Because if I read, you won't know what I'm saying. And that would be considered speaking in tongues. We good? All right. So Isaiah chapter 49, and we're going to read just one verse, verse 2, and I'll have you read that verse. And you know what? I'll read it first, and then you read it, because I want to get something from this sermon too. It says, Y puso mi boca como espada aguda, me cubrió con la sombra de su mano, y me puso por saeta bruñida, me guardó en su aljaba. And now it's your turn to read. Ready? Go. I want to talk about saeta bruñida. I want to talk about polished shaft. About polished shaft. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for being so good to us. We love you. We pray that you meet with us this morning, Lord. I pray that your Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts, God. I pray that your word be like a two-edged sword, Lord. Let it be a mirror that we can look at ourselves in it and know what we can fix, what we can change about us, how we can become better Christians and more like you. We love you. We thank you for this chapel hour. Thank you for this school. We thank you for the leadership of the school. Thank you for Pastor Kelly. Thank you for Brother Greg, Lord. I pray you be with them wherever they are, Lord. And I pray you continue to bless us here, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I was hearing a story, and I went in and did a little research on it, on African tribes. And I was seeing or hearing, and then I read after a while, on how these African tribes, they were hunters. How many of you guys like to go hunting? Like hunting? Yeah. And, this African tribe, they were hunters, and they would make their own arrows, and they would make their own arrows, and it'd be amazing what they would make it out of. They would make it of just unusual wood that they would pick up. And they would pick up these crooked pieces of wood, and they explained how they would make arrows out of them. And what they would do, this African tribe would get a fire, and they'd build a fire. And I've got a lighter somewhere around here. They'd get a fire, and they'd put the wood in fire, and they'd put, you know, the wood in the fire until it was really, really, really hot. And once the wood was really hot, they would grab a wet rag, and they would just keep rubbing the wood. And then they would grab a knife, and they would carve the wood, and they would put it back in the fire, and they would carve some more. And then they'd grab the wet rag, and they'd rub it some more. And it was very interesting how they would grab a crooked piece of wood, and by the end of the work time, when they were finished with it, it was made into an arrow that they could actually grab and they can shoot. And it was pretty cool, because they had a quiver. Is that what you guys call it, a quiver? An aljaba, that's what it was. It's an aljaba. So say aljaba. Aljaba. You learn something Spanish, you see? So they had an aljaba, and they would put the arrows, they would put them in the aljaba, in the quiver, and this is what would happen. They would sometimes be cutting wood, and they were carving it, and they were rubbing it with the wet rag. And as they would be carving it, and as they were rubbing it and putting it on the fire, sometimes they would go, ooh, ah. And the unusual part about the oohs and the ahs of the African tribes as they would carve the wood was that those would go in a different compartment in the aljaba. And the oohs and the ahs would go in a certain compartment, and the ones that they did not ooh and ah about would go in a different compartment. And they had two different compartments in l'aljaba, and then one would be for the ooh and the ahs, and the other one would be for the ones that they wouldn't ooh and ah about. And they were asked, why do you ooh and ah about certain type of arrows, and why won't you ooh and ah about the other kind? And they said, well, what we do is this. They said, when we're carving and when we're fixing it, you know, to become an arrow, if it's turning out to be real good and if it's real strong, we say ooh and ah, and then we put it in a compartment. And now that compartment, or those arrows, we use when like a lion is coming to attack us. When there's a lion coming to attack us in Africa, they say we grab one of the ooh and the ah arrows, and those are the ones that we shoot out. They said, because we can't afford to miss.
We can't afford to have a weak arrow. We need a strong arrow. So we grab the ooh and the ahs, they say, and then all the other weak ones, all the ones that are not in the ooh and the ah compartment, they said, we use it like to go hunting when we hunt rabbits. I mean, if we miss, it's not a really big deal. So it was interesting, the fact that they called the ones that they put in the ooh and ah compartment, the Africans would call it a polished shaft. They would call it a polished shaft because it was the kind of arrow that they can depend on. It was the kind of arrow that they would put their lives to the risk with this arrow. And the Bible says here in Isaiah 49:2, it says, and you guys say it in English. Somebody read that in English. Say, who has an English Bible that can help me out? Who's got an English Bible that can help me out? Joe, come up here. Bring your Bible with you. Bring your Bible with you. I need help up here. Ready, Joe? All right, read that, Isaiah 49, and read verse 2. 49. You didn't have it already? What are you looking at over there? Yeah, 49:2. Yes.
And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me.
And now I understand what it's talking about. I understand it's talking about Jesus Christ. It's talking about a prophecy about what Christ was to God the Father. He was a servant of him, and he was a polished shaft that came into this world. And I understand the prophecy. But now I want to use this as Isaiah spoke of it. He wasn't speaking. He didn't say Jesus Christ. He was saying, and he made me a polished shaft. And, of course, referring to Jesus Christ, and we know that. But he was talking about he made me a polished shaft. Thank you. And you can sit right there because I'm going to use you some more. So we know that it's talking about Jesus Christ, but Isaiah said he made me a polished shaft. So how does God make us a polished shaft? And there's three statements that I want to make, and I'll be finished. The first statement I want to make is that we are all born crooked sticks. Every person is born a crooked stick. You know, Tyler Wright was born a crooked stick. Ian was born a crooked stick. Daniel Pena was born a crooked stick. Kelly Runnels was born a crooked stick. Michael White was born a crooked stick. Everybody in this room was born a crooked stick. Romans 3:10 says, for all have sinned. We were all born crooked sticks. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all born crooked sticks. Psalms 51, David said that in sin his mother conceived him. Why? Because we're all born crooked sticks. So every person in this room was born a what? A crooked stick. Teachers, you struggle with your kids. Yeah, a bunch of crooked sticks. Everybody's born a crooked stick. We're all sinners, the Bible says. A preacher, but I'm a pretty girl. Yeah, you're a pretty crooked stick. But I'm an athlete. Yeah, you're a football player, crooked stick. We're all crooked sticks. We were all born that way. But see, God doesn't want you to stay a crooked stick. God wants to make a polished shaft out of you. God doesn't want you to just remain a crooked stick. God doesn't want you to remain an unsaved person. God doesn't want you to remain just another number. God wants to make a polished shaft out of you. So what does God do? God starts working in you. And sometimes he has to put you in the fire. And sometimes he has to put the knife on you. And sometimes it even hurts when he does it. But he's trying to make a polished shaft out of you. I have a guy in our church. We've been trying to get him saved and trying to get him saved and trying to get him saved for the longest, Joe. Can you imagine that? People just don't want to get saved. Well, this guy didn't want to get saved until the doctor told him that his son was going to be born with Down syndrome. So the doctor comes to him and says, hey, your son's going to be born with Down syndrome. And last Sunday night, he comes to church and he sits in a pew, and we had invitation. He runs to the altar. Why? Sometimes it takes a little fire and a little bit of a knife for God to make a polished shaft out of you. There was this guy, good, sweet lady in Texas. You know, And I've been to Texas to preach about two, three years in a row for revivals and youth revivals. And there was a sweet lady that would sit down, and every time she would hear you preach, you know, every time she heard you preach, she was the kind of lady that would nod her head, you know, and make you feel at home. And every time you preach, you kind of look at her just to see her nod her head, and she was all there with you, you know. And she was the kind of old lady that when you were done preaching, you know, she would come and hug you and say thank you. And just a sweet, sweet old lady that just brought a great spirit to the church. Well, she had a husband, and he was a real stubborn guy, just a stubborn man. And she always prayed for him to come to church and get saved. And she said, I'm always praying for my husband to come to church and get saved and accept Jesus Christ. And she talks about how, oh, she kept praying for him and praying for him and praying for him and praying for him. And years went by, and the guy wouldn't get saved. And I found out about the story afterwards, but years went by, and she wouldn't get saved, and he wouldn't get saved. And, well, the lady died. Not long ago, she passed away. She died, and the pastor did the funeral, and the guy that never wanted to come to church, for the first time, sat in the pews of the church to see his wife's body in the front of the altar. After that, he got saved, and now he's a faithful member in church. But sometimes it takes a little fire, and it takes a knife to you to make a polished shaft out of you. Some people don't get saved the easy way. God has to put a little fire on them so they get saved the hard way. But God will put some fire if he needs to. He'll put a knife on you if he needs you to make a polished shaft out of you. So the first thing that God does to you to make a polished shaft, number one, he tries to get you saved. The second thing God does to try to make a polished shaft out of you is he gets you in church. He gets you in church. And look for Ephesians chapter 4, Joe. Somebody look for Philippians chapter 1. Who can look for Philippians? Tyler Hale, look for Philippians chapter 1 and read verse 6. And then after that, Joe, you read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. We'll start with Tyler, and then Joe, you read the other verse. Go ahead, Tyler. There you go. So, you see, Tyler, when you get saved, what God does, he puts you in the fire sometimes to get saved. Or, I mean, sometimes you go get saved the easy way. Many people don't resist. They just go and get saved. But some people do resist. And God has to start the work in you. And he starts working on you when you first get saved. But the Bible says he doesn't stop there. He keeps working. He keeps trying to make a better shaft, a polished shaft out of you. And it starts at salvation, but it doesn't stop at salvation. It keeps going. And then you can read Ephesians chapter 4, see what it says. All right, so now, Joe, you got saved and you were a crooked stick. Joe's still a little crooked, but he was a very crooked stick, and he ain't that crooked anymore, but he was a real crooked stick. And he went to church and Joe got saved. So God fix Joe a little bit, right? You're not that bad anymore. You got saved now. You got Jesus Christ as your Savior, and the Holy Spirit lives inside of him. But check this out. The Bible says it doesn't stop there. The Bible says now Joe goes to church, and when Joe goes to church, God put preachers and teachers and evangelists and preachers to start working on Joe. So Joe doesn't just stop there. Joe keeps becoming a better shaft. And he goes to church, and he hears sermon about the music. You hear about music. And you find out what kind of music God likes and what kind of music God doesn't like. And God fixes Joe a little bit better. And just Joe says, all right, I'll give that up. And you're better shaft. And now Joe here is preaching about prayer. And Joe never prays. He's saved, but he never prays. Like some of you, you're saved, but you never pray. And Joe comes to the altar and he makes a decision about praying. And now God's working in Joe's life. And Joe hears about Bible reading, and Joe never reads his Bible. He's got a Bible. He doesn't read it. Just collects dust at home. Because there's people that don't open their Bibles until Sunday. And now Joe hears about that he should read his Bible every day. And God speaks to Joe about that. And what is God doing? He's working on Joe. And Joe starts hearing about holiness and things that you ought to look at and things that you shouldn't look at. And what is God doing? God is working on Joe. He started it at salvation, and he continues working on Joe in church. And then, the third statement I want to make, and I'll finish with this. Many resist God. God is trying to work on Joe, and he tells Joe, all right, Joe, you got to let go of that music. And Joe says, God, I love that music. There ain't no way I can let go of that, Lord. All right, Joe, you got to start reading your Bible every morning. Every morning, God, I'm going to read my Bible every morning. All right, Joe, you got to start praying, Joe. Praying, God, I mean, come on. And Joe starts resisting God. There's things that God, I mean, there's things that, I remember I had a girlfriend. And, man, she was pretty. I don't date ugly girls. I'm just kidding. And I love my wife. She's beautiful. I used to have a pretty girlfriend. And, man, I thought I was the hot stuff, you know, because I had this real pretty girl, you know. And but she wasn't the right kind of girl. She didn't love the Lord. Since I was a little kid, I always wanted to serve God. But this girl didn't want to serve God. She was just a pretty girl. And there was times where I knew I would sit in a sermon like this one right here. And I knew that if I wanted to do something for God, I was going to have to let go of that girl. And preacher would say, man, if you have a decision to make, come forward, make it at the altar. And I would look at the preacher, and then I look at my girl. And I said, she's a lot prettier than the preacher. And I mean, I didn't want to let go of her. God was trying to work in me, but I said, God, I mean, come on, God, not her. I mean, not her. I mean, God, my girlfriend, God, that's big. You can't take that away from me, God. There came a day where I had to make a decision, a girl or God. And I chose God, and God gave me the right girl later on. But God works on you, and sometimes it hurts to make certain decisions in your life. When I had to come to Carrollton, I mean, honestly, I wanted to stay in Chicago. I'm a Chicago type of person. And I knew that God wanted me to leave Chicago. But I was raised in Chicago. My friends were in Chicago. My family's in Chicago. And I said, man, go somewhere where I don't know anybody. Are you serious? And then I came here, and all I see is trees. I said, you serious, God, here? I mean, seriously? All right, Brother Daniel, you're going to start a Spanish ministry. With who? Ain't nobody here. I mean, really, God? I mean, really? When I was coming from Puerto Rico, I remember I cried in the airplane the whole way to the States. I loved it there. I was a little boy. I was raised there, and then I went to Chicago from there. But, man, I didn't want to come. And God just works on you, and there's things that just sometimes hurt, and there's things that sometimes just bother. And sometimes when the preacher preaches, it's like, man, God, but I don't want to let go of that. I just don't want to change that. I mean, God, I mean, you're talking about my friends. I mean, you're talking about my lifestyle. You're talking about something I've done all my life. And God says, you don't understand. He says, I want to make a polished shaft out of you. And sometimes it hurts, and it's sometimes fire, and it's sometimes hard, and it is painful. But when God is done, and you don't resist to God, you become usable in the hands of God. And God can actually do big things with you. But you can't resist to what God's trying to do with you. And tell our people in church, I said, anybody that likes to get up in the morning and pray and read their Bibles, they're weirdos. They're weirdos. I do it because God tells me to. And if I resist what God is telling me to do, I know God can't use me. Is there something that God's dealing in your life about and you're resisting God? Is there something that you know that you're doing that you should not be doing, but you're resisting God? And you end up becoming a practice shot for God. You end up killing bunnies instead of killing lions. You end up being one of those Christians that just sat in a pew for 50 years. And what did you do? I warmed up those 16 inches in my pew. That's all you did. A practice shot Christian. Didn't build anything. Never brought nobody to church. Never changed anybody's lives. Just a practice shot. Because they continued to resist what God wanted to do in their lives. Every time preacher preached, they were sitting there, I ain't going to change that. I ain't going to do that. Resisting. Killing bunnies. I want to kill lions. I want to do big things for God. And that's why you sit in places like these and God speaks to you. Because he wants to make polished shafts out of you. Thank you, Joe. Every head bow, every eye closed, and we can stand. God wants to make a polished shaft out of you. I want to ask a question this morning. Who would say, Brother Daniel, I've been resisting God about this whole deal of salvation. God's been dealing with me about getting saved, and he's been dealing with me about getting saved. Maybe I even grew up in church. Maybe my dad is a deacon or an usher or leader in church. But I've been resisting God on this issue of salvation. But Daniel, I want to give in to God this morning, and I want to get saved. Would you raise your hand?